As we come to think about that passage and to think about this great topic of prayer, let's ask God for his help. It's very appropriate, isn't it, to start with prayer. So let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us as we think about this wonderful privilege we have to speak to you in prayer. Help us to be encouraged, inspired, and enabled to pray more fully as we focus on your word and see what it has to teach us about speaking to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder how you were taught to pray. I guess, like most people, when you were a child, you were told to close your eyes and to put your hands together and to pray. And it makes sense, doesn't it? And we tell children that, I guess, partly so they're not distracted by things around them, so they're not fidgeting with their hands, and so they can actually focus on what they're praying about. But that idea of putting your hands together and closing your eyes doesn't appear anywhere in the Bible. In fact, actually, if anything, the Bible seems to say, open your eyes. That psalm we had at the beginning of our service, Psalm 121, begins like this. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And actually, the commentators aren't sure whether lifting your eyes to the hills is to look at the hills to see the problems, or whether the hills were where the temple was, and so it's a way of talking about looking to God. But either way, it says open your eyes to the reality of your problems, but also open your eyes to the reality of God. And actually, the psalm goes on to say that God's got his eyes open when you pray. It's the Lord who watches over you. The Lord is at your shade at your right hand. And what I want to encourage you about prayer today is that as you pray, to open your eyes, not literally, but in your heart, as you think about God, open your eyes to see who it is you are praying to. What his purposes are, who his people are, what his plans are, how he operates. The more we see and understand God, the more effective our prayers, well, not necessarily effective, but more real and more accurate our prayers will be. You see, learning to pray is not about learning elaborate phrases or learning clever ways of speaking. Learning to pray is learning about who you are speaking to. So open your eyes to them. Open your eyes to God. After all, you wouldn't speak to someone in a conversation and not look at them. That would seem very strange, especially if you had your eyes closed. And actually, as we look at this passage in Acts chapter 4, we see a story of Peter and John and the other early Christians coming together to pray. The situation is that Peter and John did this amazing miracle in the temple courts. By the beautiful gates, they had helped this man start walking that had never walked. And was able to walk and leap, and he walked and leapt for joy, and everyone's praising God for this amazing miracle. And so Peter and John started preaching in the temple courts, telling people that it was Jesus that had made this possible. And the temple authorities weren't very happy with this because they had Jesus crucified. So they arrested Peter and John and put them on trial. And in the end, they just told them not to talk about Jesus anymore. And how did Peter and John respond? To their threats, to the threats of these people who had killed Jesus or had Jesus killed. Well, they went and prayed. You see, they could have been anxious and worried about what might happen to them. Might they too be crucified? But they didn't. They weren't anxious. They prayed. They could have been angry about the way they'd been treated. After all, they'd done this amazing miracle at healing this man in Jesus' power, and yet the authorities were telling them to shut up about Jesus and threatening them. Isn't that reason to be angry? Well, they weren't angry. They prayed. They could have become despondent. Here they are preaching about Jesus, and what's the response? Well, the authorities just ignore them. Ignore what they're saying and tell them to be quiet. They could have become despondent and given up. But they didn't do that. They prayed. And when we look at their prayer in Acts chapter 4, we see that they open their eyes as they pray to see who it is they're praying to, what he's like, and what he wants in our lives. So let's think about that in a bit more detail and go through the story. So first of all, in verses 23 to 25, we see that actually Peter and John open their eyes to God's people. They don't just pray by themselves. They go back to their own, it says, to the other Christians in Jerusalem, and they tell them what has been going on. They tell them the threats that have been done. And together with the other people, they pray to God. God doesn't call us to be lone Christians. He doesn't call us to be solitary Christians. He calls us as part of a family, part of a people of God. And so we need to open our eyes to God's people and pray with them. We did a survey online this week asking people about how they found prayer, particularly during lockdown. And I'm thankful for those that responded. I'm going to quote some of the things they said. One of the things that struck me when we asked them this question, what has helped you to pray and pray since last March? They basically said other Christians. So someone said the Sunday online service and encouragement from other Christians. And the online service is not just one person, it's lots of us singing and praying and reading the Bible and teaching as a way of encouraging us as to pray together, to be together. Online services, again, listening to praise music. You can buy praise music, listen to it on Spotify and other things. Or just looking at the wonders of nature. My growth team, someone said, those small groups that have been meeting, and some have carried on meeting on Zoom, so we can see each other, talk to each other, encourage each other. We can ask one another what we can pray for them. And seeing different contributions, feeling purposefully connected to the church family, being able to watch services and attend church, and some people have done that in person, seeing God's work happen in the community. Knowing we're part of God's people, knowing that we're not alone, means we can be encouraged by others, and it also encourage others. When we have a need for prayer, we can ask others to pray for us, and we can be there for others to offer to pray for them as well. So open your eyes to God's people. But secondly, open your eyes to God's character. When they start praying in verse 24, the opening prayer says, Sovereign Lord. This, the word in Greek, sort of literally means the ultimate boss, the ultimate guy in charge. That is who God is. And then it goes on to say, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. That sounds familiar, quite like Psalm 121 that we had quoted earlier on. But actually, it's closest to Psalm 146. And Psalm 146 says this, Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. You see that phrase, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. That psalm begins by saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's almost saying, look, saying to yourself, speak to yourself, to praise God. And actually, as we come to in prayer, it's good to begin with praise, maybe sing hymns of praise, to focus on who God is and what he's like. And this part of the psalm particularly focuses on God's power. For God, nothing is impossible because he created the universe. He is awesome. He's amazing. He's beyond and above everything. And yet the psalm goes on to say, this God cares for the hungry and feeds them. This God looks out for the orphan and the widow and the refugee. This God cares for those in need. God is awesome and beyond creation, beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. Nothing is impossible for him, and yet he cares deeply about our individual needs. As you pray, look to God in his character, a God demonstrated most powerfully, of course, through Jesus and his death and his resurrection, giving up everything for our sakes. And when you realize you're praying to this God, then your prayers can be filled with confidence and eagerness to bring your needs to him, because he is able and because he cares for you. And that's reflected in what some of the people said in our online survey. So in the question, how has prayer helped you through this time? People said, it's helped me to be calm and trust in God knowing that God is there looking after us. It gives you a peace, a calmness. It keeps my focus on God and my relationships with the Holy Spirit, who also keeps my focus on the teachings of Jesus. I learned to rely on God instead of others. God is the one who trusts us. And actually, if you read Psalm 146, it warns against trusting in people. It says, God gives us a sure foundation through the difficulties of life. And someone said, handing my worries and insecurities onto God makes me feel I'm not alone. God's character means he won't leave you alone. He is always there, always ready to help. This is the God we pray to. Will you open your eyes to God's character? That's what the early Christians did in Acts chapter 4. And finally, because knowing that God hears every, even the merest of prayers and answers it as he knows best. He's not only the God of heaven and earth, but he's a God who cares about our smallest of needs. So, open your eyes to God's character. Another question I asked was, how has the way you pray or praise changed since last March? I was really struck at a few people mentioned that they actually learned to praise God more and to thank him more. Someone said spending more time in thankfulness, more intense. There has been so much to be grateful for in answer to prayer. And trying to praise and thank God in every situation and to take everything in him and to trust him to answer in his perfect time. So why not praise God? Do you sing along to the hymns in these services? That's a great way to lift your focus, to open your eyes to God's character as you come to him in prayer. Don't be shy. Don't be put off by the other people in your house that might laugh at you. Don't be put off by worrying about what neighbours might think. Praise God. Praise my soul, O Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 146 begins. So the people in Acts chapter 4 start off by praising God for his character. But they also open their eyes to see that God is bigger than their problems. Their problem, of course, was that they'd been told not to speak about Jesus. They'd been threatened if they carried on speaking about Jesus. And they go to another psalm, to Psalm 2, which says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" It talks about a very similar problem. People plotting against God's people and being angry against him. The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers stand together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Who is the anointed one? Well, that means the Messiah, the Christ. They realize it was talking about Jesus. And the psalm goes on to say this, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." And you see how as they reflect on this together in prayer, how they see that the problems of enemies coming against God's people is just laughed at because God will have the final word. They reflect on that and reflect on it in the context of the cross and resurrection. Herod and Pontius Pilate, representing the Roman authorities, and all the people of Israel in the city of Jerusalem, they rose up against Jesus, God's anointed one. And they had him crucified. And yet, what looked like their victory over God's plans was none of the sort. But they say in verse 28, "They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen." The people of Israel, Pilate and Herod, the Jewish authorities, thought they'd defeated Jesus. But God laughs at them. And he raised Jesus from the dead. To show that actually, rather than trying to defeat the plans of Christ, they'd only helped Jesus succeed in what he'd come to do, to die for our sins. Do you see that God is bigger than our problems? No matter what may be thrown against us, whether it be people making our lives difficult, whether it be a pandemic, whatever it might be, God laughs. God will have the final word. And so we don't deny that we are facing problems. We don't deny that we might be going through times of difficulty. But we are confident as we come to God in prayer that he can help us that he'll work in all things for the good of those who love him, as it says in Romans 8:28. When I ask people about, next question. When I ask people about how has prayer helped you for this time, some people said this, learning to trust God, to know he is in control, and to believe all his promises, no matter how bleak worldwide, national, local, or personal needs might seem. Sometimes I talk to people and their focus is totally on the news and all the problems of the world, and it's good to be aware of what's going on. But will you open your eyes to see the God who is bigger than our problems, that is bigger than the problems of the world, that is bigger than the pandemic? God will bring us through. And so although things may be tough for now, although God may leave us in our problems for the moment, we can pray to him and know that he will have the final say. I also ask people, what specific answers to prayers have you seen? Some people said this, keeping depression at bay and knowing God's comfort many times when feeling low and finding things hard to keep going. God is bigger than our depression. They may be tough and hard for now. God will help us through those things. God protecting my bubble, the miracle of the vaccine and so on. Actually, even in what science is achieving for us and the medical people are achieving for us and the government is achieving for us, it's God working through them to achieve it. We can be thankful to God for that. It's an answer to prayer. Someone else says he has graciously healed family members and friends of serious and minor illnesses. He has helped comfort friends, family and neighbours in their grief. He has kept families safe from COVID-19, enabled all young family members to continue working safely, either as key workers or from home, and is helping their children to find ways of overcoming their anxieties. God is answering prayers. God is bigger than our problems. And that's what the early Christians realized, and so they came to God in prayer to help them through this difficult time. But as they did, they would also open their eyes to God's mission. They saw that God wanted them to speak about Jesus. And so they responded by praying that God would help them to speak. In verse 30, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Sorry, that was verse 29. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and miracles through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." You see, we talked earlier on about God being the ultimate boss, the sovereign Lord. If God is the ultimate boss, then how do we respond to him? We respond to him as servants. And if we are his servants, then we will want to do his work and his will. And one of the key roles of the church is to let people know about Jesus, to share God's word about what he's done through Jesus Christ. We'll look at a lot more of that in a couple of weeks' time. But we can't do it in our own strength. We need God's help. You see how this prayer works? When the threats came, they could have been anxious that these people that had Jesus crucified might also have them killed. But they trusted that God was bigger than the threats. They could have been angry, but they trusted and left God's judgment of people to God. In fact, they didn't even pray, did they, that these people that were threatening them might receive God's judgment. They merely prayed that they'd be able to do what God wants. And they might have been despondent and just given up. But they don't. They pray that God will give them boldness to move on. As we pray, are we opening our eyes to God's mission? Not just praying for our own comfort and for our own ease and for our own desires, but praying for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done. A couple of respondents talked about this in the question, what specific answers to prayer have you seen? One person said, "On a personal level, I've seen a better quality of life, growing in understanding that everything that happens is according to God's plan." And they go on to talk about the church. Seeing a church which has adapted and is able to reach out, seeing God's light shine within our church family and within our community. The pandemic could so easily have completely stopped everything we do at St. Luke's. And yet by God's grace, and actually by God putting things in place beforehand, the fact that technology has reached a level where it's so easy to use and produce online services, the fact that we had things in place to help us do that reasonably easy at St. Luke's, God has prepared the way and made it possible for us to keep proclaiming his word, even during lockdown, using the internet. And we're grateful for so many people helping over these last few months, the last year almost, to contribute in so many different ways to make that happen. And in this one person, on a more personal level, says, I've prayed earnestly to have conversations with unsaved people to witness about Jesus. There you go, that's almost the same prayer as these people are praying here. And he says, then I unexpectedly had one, which I must admit surprised me. So that was a very real answer to a specific prayer. Will you pray that God might give you boldness to speak about Jesus? Might give you opportunities to share him with others, that they too can hear about Jesus. So will you open your eyes? Will you open your eyes to God's people and their encouragement and to be an encouragement to them? Will you open your eyes to God's character, that he is the creator of heaven and earth and yet cares for each individual need? Will you open your eyes to see that God is bigger than any problems that the world or we face? And will you open your eyes to God's mission? That's what the early Christians did, as they came to God in prayer and they prayed and God responded. He gave them a very specific encouragement. The place shook. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, which is, they had already had the Holy Spirit, as we saw in recent talks on John. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit means giving special empowerment to do God's work. And they went and they spoke boldly about Jesus, despite the threats. Will you dare to pray those bold kinds of prayers? Maybe God will respond by shaking things up for you as well, by enabling you to do some amazing things for him. Open your eyes as you pray. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this encouragement to prayer. Help us to open our eyes to see your people. Help us open our eyes to see your character. Help us to open our eyes to see that you're bigger than our problems. And help us to open our eyes to see your mission. Amen.